Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready? Now, without further ado, I introduce to you my pastor, the Reverend Todd C. Key, and the New Life Community Choir.
Created me, yes. A leader. And renew my spirit. Oh, yeah. In me. Oh, watch me, Lord. I'll give it.
God bless you, everybody. God bless you. It is, and tonight is God's Word to Man night, where me and my siblings come on and we discuss a topic, and we allow you, the listeners, to call in with your comments, your prayer requests, or your questions, whatever you may have. We are here for it. Amen. The number to call in is 563-999-3552. Again, that number is 563-999-3552. Amen. And tonight's topic, why did God love David the way he did? Why did God love David the way he did? We're going to discuss that tonight. I'd like to welcome all of you in who are listening now live, and those who will listen to the recording a little bit later. And as you know, I am Brother Manny, and I am never on by myself. Although some people think that I should do more broadcasts, I like to leave the Bible lessons and teachings up to the teachers, the preaching up to the preachers. And I like to do what God, I feel that God has given me a gift to do, and just kind of facilitate, be a gatherer of people. Amen. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on, amen, he's always on with me, never lets me down. I appreciate him. God bless you, Rev. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, Brother Manny. How about yourself?
Brother, I'm feeling incredible, feeling great, thanking God every single day for what he allows me to do, amen, which is breathe.
Amen.
Amen. Move around.
Amen.
Live for his glory, of course. So we got a great, great topic tonight. I started studying, and some things start making me dig a little deeper. Like I read the scripture, mm-hmm, and then I read some of the scripture in my study Bible, and I just begin to kind of meditate on this. And really, to understand this, a person would have to unpack what has happened up until this point. And, of course, our scripture is found in Psalms 51, verses 1 and 2. That is our scripture for today and what we will speak out of, or what Rev would speak out of today. I started reading that, and you really have to go back and read and try to understand the dynamics of David's and God's relationship. I think that's important. And so I got to admit, I'm not as prepared as I thought I would be. Because it's, you know, I started digging a little deeper than I thought I would have to for this scripture. And so without further ado, I'm just going to open us up in prayer, if you don't mind. And then I'm going to go ahead and turn the reins over to you tonight, if that's okay.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Great God, Jehovah, we thank you in the name of your son, Jesus. We come boldly before your throne today, thanking you for an opportunity to be on this platform called Blog Talk Radio and to share with the people what you have placed in our hearts today, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus that hearts are touched, minds are illuminated, people are inspired and uplifted. Father, let them hear and receive what it is that you have for them. We bind all hindrances, every attack and influence of the devil. We plead the blood of Jesus today over this broadcast. We pray that the Holy Spirit would take over and have his way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Lord, we love you. Amen. Amen. All right, Rev.
Amen. Amen. It is important that we understand that there was a dynamic at work here before David was even born. The Bible talks about how before we were even born and created in our mother's womb, God knew us. And so God knew all about David and his proclivities even before David was old enough to even know what proclivities were. And so when we come upon this psalm, we find David in a place of repentance because he had a true friend, if you will, Nathan, who was willing to keep him accountable, hold him accountable for his behavior. And if any of us are going to walk this walk successfully with God, of course, studying and fasting and meditation are all a part of that diet. But we also need people who know us and who love us enough to hold us accountable. And so we come upon this story, and we find that David has been with Bathsheba and has gotten her pregnant, and David has had Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed after some attempts had failed to have him go home while David had gotten him drunk to have relations with his wife, but he refused to go home. But this problem started with Bathsheba because David was not where he was supposed to be. That's a note that we can kind of take for ourselves and understand for ourselves that generally when we're not where we're supposed to be, it is an opportunity for Satan to influence into behavior that is not godly. And so the Bible declares that at the time when men were at war, David, who was king, should have been at war, but he did not. He stayed back, and he was able to see Bathsheba in a compromising position, which then led him to lust and eventually adultery, and then ultimately murder of her husband. Nathan comes to David, and he says to David, he gives him a sort of a parable, if you will, and he presupposes to him, you know, there's a man who had, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, who had several head of stock, and he wasn't satisfied. He saw a man who had only one head of stock, and said the man desired to have it, and he didn't care about the other guy, and he took it. And he asked David, he said, David, what do you think should happen to such a man? And David's response was, well, generally most of our responses would have been, you know, that man needs to be dealt with harshly, swiftly. And Nathan said to David, that man is you, David. You know, and we find ourselves at this Psalm 51, and we're just going to really get into the first couple of verses, but, you know, we will definitely address some of the rest of the verses in a more of a contextual way versus just expository reading them. And so David, and we get this sense of that it might not have been very long, but I don't think it was right after the murder of Uriah, but we get the sense some time has passed since David had gotten Bathsheba pregnant and killed Uriah, because David begins to lose his closeness with God. Now notice, David begins to feel separated from God. God does not walk away from David. God will not walk away from us, but God has to, we separate ourselves from God when we walk in sin, when we practice sin, because our God is a holy God. And if, hallelujah, if he caused the world to be in total darkness, when Jesus, his only begotten son, became sin, then what do you think he's going to do, and how do you think he's going to respond with us? And so we get the sense that David has lost the fellowship that he was accustomed to having with God. And so he begins to kind of spell it out and begin to repent in this psalm. Now, this is one of the biggest things I like about David. David had a heart for God. He had a heart for the things of God, and David had a, because he had a heart for God, David understood what it meant that there are times when pride needs to be out of the window, and humility is the order of the day. And this is where we find David in this psalm. He says to God, he says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgression. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And so we know verses further down, he says, purge me with hyssop, you know, create in me a clean heart, renew within me a right spirit. But the crux of what we need to understand is that David did not just ask God for forgiveness. And so many times we think we can just sin and then we'll just ask God for forgiveness. Some of us have a sense of even planning it and say, okay, yeah, I know I want to do this and I'll just repent. I'll just ask for forgiveness afterwards. Well, that's kind of not how this thing works. And God looks at our heart to see the true intent behind how we feel. And if we're really godly sorry. And the reason that David was the apple of his eye, because David truly was godly sorry that he had done what he does. See, forgiveness is just something that kind of happens, that we ask kind of in a snapshot. David went in. David tried to cover as many bases as he could. He said, create in me a clean heart, renew within me a right spirit, purge me with hyssop, wash me so I can be clean. He meant that thing.
Oh, yes.
And he meant it with all his heart. And God recognized that this was not just forgiveness he was seeking, but repentance, because David wanted to be back in fellowship with God the way he was accustomed. I just wonder if there's any of us on the line tonight that to understand that there's a sense by which we can have a surface relationship with God, but not really have a substantive relationship. And if we really understood how much we really need God, we would pursue the things of God. We would keep ourselves in a place of humbling ourselves, asking for not only forgiveness, but repenting from what we've done, turning away from it, and seeking the face of God to make sure that we are in relationship and fellowship at a level that causes us to feel God. David said, I have lost the restore to me the joy of my salvation.
Oh, yeah.
David lost the joy of fellowship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Do we understand that the reason why some of us cannot be happy is because we're not walking in the fellowship and the relationship that produces a level of joy even in the midst of trials? David said, I've lost the joy of my salvation. I lost the thing that made me feel connected. But that's what sin does. Sin disconnects the fellowship. Sin interrupts the connection. And David said, listen, I'm guilty, which is the first step in recovery, is to admit, man, I was wrong. And I don't desire to walk in this sense of being wrong, in this realm of being wrong. I don't want to continue in this. I got to get before God, and I got to essentially beg him to forgive me. My question to our listeners tonight is, when's the last time you begged God? I'm not talking about for things. I'm not talking about for a spouse or for even for money. But when was the last time you said to God, God, restore to me the joy of my salvation? When was the last time we said, God, cleanse me thoroughly, God, so that my thoughts are no longer wicked, that my ways are no longer wicked or deceitful? When was the last time we begged God to make us better? Y'all don't hear me tonight. We are so accustomed to pursuing prosperity, financial prosperity, material prosperity. We are so accustomed to pursuing that. But when was the last time we had a hunger and thirst for righteousness, for right standing?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Did you want to cut in or chime in? If not, I can keep going.
I mean, thank you, Pastor. I just want to add some of the things and thoughts that, like, entered my mind as I read, and I'm listening to you even now as the Holy Spirit was kind of you know, helping me, helping my thought process along. You know, I think that sometimes we can't relate to what's happening because we don't have the level of relationship that those people had, right? When you have a part-time relationship with the Lord and your relationship is really based on, okay, God, what are you willing to do for me today? You know, and you don't say this out loud, of course, but through your actions, how much time do you really spend with the Lord? People say that they've been in church their whole lives, but have you been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost? Have you had that spiritual shaking and awakening to the point where whenever you're making a decision, whatever you're doing, you know automatically that it's contrary, you know, to what God has placed on your life. You know that what you've done wrong. Here we have an example. He's just not repentant. He is agonizing over what he has done. Not just what he's done, but the space that it has put him in relationship to his connection with the Father.
That's right. That's right.
And he is feeling the brunt of the void, the emptiness.
Yeah.
You have to remember, and this is what the Holy Spirit helped my thinking along a little bit. You have to remember the relationship that David had with God even when he was a boy.
That's right.
David has always walked with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
When he's, now, we talk about how, you know, David and Goliath, right? We always talk about that story. But we don't talk about the level of relationship that David had to have with God to trust that he would come out on the winning side. Yes, David slew the, God helped him, you know, slay the bear and the lion. But this gigantic man, this warrior of warriors, this undefeated man, times the size of David. David with no sword, no shield. He tossed off the armor because it was too heavy. He said, all I need is my God and what he has provided me with. Do you know what level of trust he had to have even as a boy? So David is no stranger to his level of relationship and connection with God. It's not new to him. So he understood where he was and where he was spiritually. It hurt him. This isn't just forgive me of my trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Right.
He wants God to remove it, not take the taste of it even out of his mouth, if I could say that. I don't want to do it no more. If it's going to cause this pain that I feel right now, the pain of me betraying you, man, that's deep. That's so deep that we spoke over it and we don't understand how many of us are like that, right? Very few of us have a relationship with God like that. Let's just be honest. Let's put all our cards on the table. Very few of us have that type of relationship. We can relate to what David did and his sin, right? David's lust problem, a lot of us can relate to that. But can you relate to being so distraught and agonizing over what you have done and where it has placed you in your relationship with God to where you're praying, just don't forgive my sin. I want you to put it out of your memory, God, like it never existed. Blot out my transgression. There's a scripture in 1 John that says that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to what? Purge and cleanse us of all transgression. So that these are a couple of separate things going on here. Your sin is just not being forgiven. There's another action happening as well. And so
I like how David, he separated that, and he's going beyond just asking, forgive me.
Yeah.
God know you. See, he knew you, like you say, he knew your proclivities before you were even born.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's
the
right.
fact that David, the king, in a position that he was in, he acknowledged that he is nothing. And in that moment, he said, God, I'm nothing without you. I can't live life like this,
mm-hmm.
with us being disconnected, with us being separate like this. Please. He's pleading with God. Take this away from me. What I've done, I don't want to do this no more, to cause this to happen no more. And so I just feel like the passion in it. I feel like the urgency of David to get
mm-hmm.
back that relationship, get back to that place where he was with the Lord. Amen.
Amen. And you're correct, brother. I mean, you know, he understands, because, as you said a second ago, this was not a fly-by-night relationship that he had with God. This was not a one-sided relationship that he had with God, where God is just doing for him. But David had a deep exchange with God, as you said, even from being as a boy. And again, you got to remember, David essentially had an unwanted job. Like, he was not in the house when Samuel came. He wasn't in Jesse's house when Samuel came in Jesse's house. He was out tending the sheep, a lowly responsibility. And David, not only, as some of us would have been like, you know, all my other brothers, they all in the house, and they ain't got to be out here dealing with the stuff that happens naturally with sheep. They don't even got to deal with all of that, and I'm out here, and I look a mess, I smell a mess. No, he wasn't out there complaining. He was out there protecting what was given into his possession, and didn't probably know it at the time, but was being trained to be a shepherd
mm-hmm.
of a different type.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it took humility to do that job, and I fully believe that was one of the reasons why God selected him as king. Because here you had Saul, who could be characterized as somebody full of pride, especially toward the end. And so God selects somebody polar opposite of Saul in David. And David had a heart for God. David, like, listen, who is this uncircumcised Philistine talking crazy about my God? And furthermore, why y'all ain't out there peeling his head? What y'all doing?
Right, right.
Y'all scared? Well, I tell you what. I ain't gonna let him just sit here and talk about my God. So I'm going on out here. I don't care how tall he is. Like you said, man, he had the faith because he had the fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
He had the faith because he had the fellowship. He knew God wouldn't forsake him. Because David wasn't out there trying to show off. Mm-hmm. David loved God like that. And because he loved God like that, God loved David like that.
Yeah.
Did he condone what David did? He did not. And guess what? David had to pay for his transgression. He didn't just fall out of favor with God. He had a son to die.
Oh, yeah.
He had a son that tried to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And what we need to take away from that lesson is, whatever we engage in wrongdoing, in wrong dealing, we are setting ourselves up. We are signing a contract for us to receive get back.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that. And it would behoove us to make sure that we are doing right by people, because a lot of times what we end up getting back is worse than what we dished out. And so David could live with the fact that he killed an innocent man because of his own proclivity. And this is one of the major reasons, something near and dear to his heart that he wanted to do, build a temple for God, God would not allow him to do. And that's a lesson for us as well. You never know what you're forfeiting when you give in to your sin nature. But man, wouldn't it be great to be able to say, man, I am in such relationship and fellowship with God until I don't even have a desire to do A, B, and C anymore. God has literally taken that from me. Hallelujah. Or at least say, oh, I know what triggers me. I'm going to strategize and make sure I don't put myself in that position so that I don't, you know, I may not be fully completely delivered from this or that. So let me make sure I don't even put myself in that position. Hey, Bathsheba's not mine. Let me keep my hands off, because I don't know the consequences, because it could be worse than just you losing. And this is what we got to keep in mind. We don't know the future. So it could be worse than just losing your son, your daughter. It could be worse than just losing the joy of your salvation. You could literally lose your life. And I don't know anybody who would say that's a fair trade, who'd be willing to give up their life for a moment of indiscretion. Not nobody that got godly wisdom. And that's what, thank God, Nathan was able to convey to David. Like, listen, bro, God is not pleased. Manny, we got to do a better job and make sure we're doing all we can to make sure God is pleased with us. Because I don't want to be in the crosshairs of an angry God.
Oh, no.
Especially, watch this, when he's given us the tools that we don't have to be. Will we make up our mind? I do want to say this. And I want people to understand in the context of what I'm saying, because I don't want people to understand, well, David did what he did, and he repented, and he asked God to cleanse him and to, you know, purge him and to restore. Maybe I just do that. When I fall short, I just do that. I just do those things David did. Well, we need to keep in mind, there's no guarantee you're going to have an opportunity to do it.
Amen.
That's first. Secondly, we don't even understand the depth of what David was really, one of the things he was saying through this passionate plea of repentance. He essentially was saying he wished he had never done it. He's essentially saying, Brother Manny, it was not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the messages that we need to walk away with concerning this teaching. It's not worth losing the joy of your salvation. It's not worth it. It's not worth being in agony because you can't feel God. You can't hear God. And so we have to be in his word, if for nothing else, to make sure our discernment is so sharpened that when we see something that will get us off track, we will deny. We will reject. Nope. Nope. I'm not going there. I'm not going with you. I'm not entertaining no foolishness. I must maintain my relationship. I must maintain my fellowship. I must maintain my ability to hear from God, because my very life depends on it.
Amen.
Because even after God forgave David, even after David repented, like I said, he still had a son to die. And one of the things he really wanted to do was build God a temple. But God said, I'm not going to let you do it. But because I have favored you, David, I will let your son Solomon build it.
Amen.
Manny, we could talk about how proud, godly proud, David was that his son got to build a temple. And I'm sure he was. But Manny, you better believe David wanted to build that temple.
Oh, yes.
And I don't see it in Scripture directly, but I'm willing to say that when God told him no, but I let your son build it, I'm sure David was disgusted with himself. I'm sure David was, man, I missed out on one of the most honorable things I could have done for God. And yeah, my son's gonna get to build it, and I thank God that he at least favored me that way, but I wanted to do it. And some of us need to lay hold to that and understand that there are things you really want to do in the grand scheme of your relationship with God. We got to make sure that we're not doing things to forfeit that.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. You know. You just gotta be sold out.
That's it.
And when you mess up, man, David, I believe this chapter, I believe this number of Psalm 51. I think he got 16 verses total, 18, and the majority of them are not David asking for material things or even money, but he's repenting because it's important to him. More important than any woman.
Uh-huh.
More important than any material thing. It's important to him that God doesn't walk away from him.
Absolutely. You know, Pastor, yeah. One of the things that I think is important that we point out about this, and this is why God loved David, because David, I don't believe, at any point,
mm-hmm.
thought that his successes or triumphs was of his own making.
Yeah. That's right.
That's important. That's important to know, even as a boy.
Mm-hmm.
His confidence came because of the relationship he had with the Father. He knew that God wouldn't let him down because he was totally dependent on being kept by God. Being out
yeah.
there with those animals, protecting those sheep. The Bible
mm-hmm.
said he was unseemly and scrawny. He was nothing good to look at. He wasn't built up. He was a little, if you want to put it this way,
mm-hmm.
paraphrasing, he was the runt of the litter. He wasn't anything special to look at. He didn't have any special skills. He even understood that. He understood that
anything he was able to do, any accomplishments, any wars, any battles that he won, he attributed it to saving him and giving him the victory. It's all throughout the Psalms.
That's right. That's right.
So imagine being totally dependent on God and then God not being there anymore.
Yeah.
David was probably terrified.
Yeah.
We can't really relate directly because we don't put God first like that.
Yeah.
And that's why God loved David.
Mm-hmm.
Not only because he was repentant,
mm-hmm.
not only because of his heart, but because
mm-hmm.
of his posture, the way he lived his life in total dependence on God. And God loves it when we do that. He loves it when we do that. When we, he said, cast your cares on me, for I care for you.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your burdens. Yokes.
Mm-hmm.
Change it for mine, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Light, yeah, yeah.
But we have such a hard time giving ourselves totally to the Lord. That's how you can have that level of dependency and trust in God. You got to totally surrender. David knew that he was nothing without God. Probably terrified when after Nathan came to him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to lose that. Oh, no, don't.
Mm-hmm.
Take your spirit away from me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get like
mm-hmm.
that. When are we going to develop that type of relationship? And I started getting so much out of this. It's a reminder, not just about repenting, because we'll do that just so that our conscience can be clear about what we do. In this scripture, David isn't just repenting so he can move on with his life and keep doing what he was doing before. Amen. I just wanted to put that out there because, you know, that's what I was kind of dealing with while I was reading this. Like, man, he is really agonizing over this. And I was like, why is it so important? Why is it so, why is he just so... He's like pouring out his soul, pleading with God, cleanse me. Whatever's wrong inside, Lord, I need you to cleanse me and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll never be outside of your protective covering. David know what's
yeah.
up. He know all the battles he had
yeah.
been in, all the things he had been through. He know that
mm-hmm.
he wouldn't have made it if it wasn't for the Lord. That's what I see. That's what I hear. That's what I feel when I start reading this. It's so great. It's awesome, really. Awesome to be able to see this and to share this. Amen. And I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you. We got 15 minutes left. Nobody called in, and that's okay. But I'm glad that the word will still get out. And I hope people are really going to be, you know, kind of diving into this and really studying this and allowing and meditating on, allowing God to kind of reveal different things about themselves. Do we truly want to be cleansed? Well, we want him to blot out our transgression. We don't want him to remember what we did, but do we want to be new on
hmm.
the inside?
Yeah, that's good.
Do we really want to walk away from that thing that is separating us, causing a disconnect? You know? Amen. Go ahead, Pastor. Take it to the house.
No, I mean, you're right. This sense of who David is not something that is happening in this moment. This is who David always was. But he's human, like the rest of us, right? He's flawed. like the rest of us. And so, in his humanness, he did something that God had to judge him on, and God judged him on it. And we need to understand that God's going to judge us on what we do, and there's going to be consequences when we are disobedient. David was disobedient. There were consequences. But because David desired to have a relationship, to continue to walk in the level of relationship, if you will, that really gave him the ability to kill a giant, Goliath was 9 feet, 6 inches, I think, or somewhere like that, 9 feet, 9 inches. We don't really know how tall David was, but we know he was nowhere near that tall.
And he wasn't even tall for a regular person.
That's right. But David understood, hey, I'm not going to fight Goliath in my own might. And that's a word for somebody on the line tonight or listening or whatever. You don't have to go and fight your giants in your own ability. Take a lesson from David and walk in great faith in who God is, understanding that God is undefeated. He cannot lose. But the minute we try to take things in our own hands, or the minute we walk in a way of error, then consequences come with that. And sometimes those consequences are deadly. Sometimes those consequences stop the very thing we wanted to do, we're not able to do. And sometimes those consequences, you know, are a lot more harsher than we thought they was going to be. But David says, listen, I don't want to live in this place of figuring out what the consequences could or could not be. I don't want to be in wrong relationship or wrong fellowship. I want to be in right relationship and right fellowship. And so I'm going to ask God, because the way I'm feeling now, I've never felt this way before. And more importantly, I never want to feel this way again.
Amen.
So
Pastor, not to cut you off, but we did have somebody call in. I think it's our sister called in. I'm going to bring her on and see if she has something to say. God bless you.
Amen.
Are you on with us now?
Yes, I'm on. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, good. I sure thank God for the both of you all. Thank you, Brother Manny. Thank you, Bishop. This is such a beautiful text that you all are delivering tonight. And I'll go quickly because I know time is almost up. You all know that I'm technically challenged, so I didn't know how to go about calling, but thank God for Jesus. Amen. I think the number one thing is God really loves us. I need everyone that is listening and who may listen later. If David could do this and still be considered the apple of God's eye, God really loves us. There is nothing out there that will put us too far that God can't reach us. So remember that, okay, because God loves us. He loved David. And also another thing, we can't take God too lightly either. You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
Because David feared what else could come, but also he accepted his punishment. So I think those are the two things, amen, I think those are the two things that we need to remember about our God, that, yes, he's a loving God, okay, he's a faithful God, okay, and we can go to him, you know, because as you said, Bishop, he never leaves us. We're the one that leads him through our sin. So he's always there for us, but we must remember that when you sin, you have to pay for that sin, and David accepted it, his sin. I wish I knew how to call in early because I just had this whole thing ready. You know, when the people that was working with David say, your son is dead, and they say, David cleaned up himself and everything, and they said, why are you so joyful, you so happy? He said, it is done. No need to mourn now. He accepted his punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
He received, you
that's
know, he
right.
got closer to God. So that's what some of us need
mm-hmm.
to do. You understand? Well, we're not in right standing with God and we do wrong. We have to accept that punishment. And then we have to thank
that's
God
right.
and we have to move on. Amen. So I sure thank y'all. Y'all delivered. Y'all covered everything. I didn't bring my dictionary tonight. So brunt and prosperity, I don't know. But I sure thank
mm-hmm.
God for y'all. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sis. God bless you.
Back
yeah,
to you.
That's my fault. I should have sent you the number to call in. I didn't even think to do that after I sent you the assignment yesterday. But I won't make that mistake again.
No worries.
Amen.
No worries. Amen.
Go ahead, Pastor.
No, I really like how she put it. Like, we sometimes try to play this game. Well, since he gonna forgive me anyway, since Jesus died for my sins, past, present, and future. No, I'm just saying something crazy. No, man, that ain't how that works. That ain't
mm-hmm.
how that works. And oftentimes, the difference too with us, like we don't want to accept the consequences. They said, okay, he understood what when they said his son is dead. He understood. My
mm-hmm.
bad. That's on me.
Mm-hmm.
That's on me. And
mm-hmm.
he just received it. It wasn't that he didn't care that his son was dead. He did.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you going to do? And a lot of times, like I was saying before, this is why God, David understood how to just be humble. How many of us have been wrong and still was hot, proud and haughty?
Amen.
Well, God, you didn't have to kill him. First of all, God is sovereign. He don't tell God what to do and not do. And secondly, God says, hey, I didn't tell you to do what you did, but you did it. But watch this. He was able to use Nathan to, because even when we do act up, you better believe God's going to either send somebody some kind of way, even if it's through somebody on TV preaching or teaching, to warn you and to give you a way of out of that thing, but you got to be humble enough to say that that's talking to me. He's talking to me. She's talking to me. I need to get my act together because I am out of right alignment. And I thank God that David, while he wasn't perfect, he represents us who are not perfect. And I want to be like David. I want to be able to I don't want to ever be in a position not to be able to feel the joy of my salvation. I want to, but that means there's something I have to do, and I'm not telling people, I'm not teaching a salvation or a doctrine of works so you can be saved. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is, when you are something, the evidence of you being that something is in your behavior.
Amen.
And sometimes that behavior should cause you to, you can't always go to church. You go to church every Sunday and you never repent. You never go to the altar. or you in your house and you never ask God for forgiveness. You never repent. No. We are imperfect beings. And God give us opportunity to restore a level of access to him through repentance.
Amen.
Not just forgiveness, but through repentance. God, I'm sorry. Listen, David is almost bordering on begging. Purge me with hyssop. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Create in me a clean heart. Renew with me. He's upset that he's out of fellowship. When was the last time he was upset over our sin?
Hmm.
Amen.
I think that's a good place to leave it.
Wait, is the time up or can I say one more thing?
Yeah, you can say one
more
thing. Go ahead.
Okay, you know something else with Bishop was mentioning, Nathan bringing it, observe quickly how strategic God is. He didn't send Nathan accusatory, right? He had to give it
yeah.
to him differently, right? By the laws,
right.
by the things that you live by. Because I know if I give it to you the way by the laws that you live by, you can't do anything except receive it. You can't deny it.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
100%. He had no other choice but to accept it. And he knew. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes when you're in a lofty place, when you're in a place where you can't hear, and we've all been there.
Amen.
We've all been there in a place where we may have been doing wrong, but we weren't ready to hear. You know, listening to our own logic and explanation behind certain things and justification.
That's right.
And when God's hand is on your life, he don't leave you ignorant.
He doesn't.
He gives you a chance. And I'm just glad that God doesn't reward me or punish me with what I truly deserve.
Amen.
That's what David came in with. He talked about those tender mercies.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's something else. We take it for granted. Yes, yes. His overwhelming and abundant compassion.
Mm-hmm.
He truly loves us, like Smith said. He loves us so much. Also, he loved us so much. God so loved the world.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that he does. I say that in my prayer every day. I know you didn't have to do it, Lord, but I'm so grateful that you did.
Amen.
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 Well, folks, we thank you for tuning in. Whether you're tuning in now live or you're tuning in later on the recording, listen. We thank God for you. We hope this has been a blessing. As always,
Amen.
Don't forget, we also go live on Facebook on the Caring Church of Memphis page on Thursdays for Transformation Thursdays at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we'll also be back next Tuesday with another topic like this. And we'll make sure that Sister Jeanette is on from the beginning. Amen. So
Amen.
That's our
Amen.
Topic for today. Sister Jeanette, you have anything else you'd like to add?
God bless us all, everyone.
Amen. And you know I love you. God bless you. God keep you and God go with you. And Rev has one last thing to share with us.
God cares. And so does the Caring Church. Be blessed, everyone.
Are you ready? Now, without further ado, I am...